Well, it's been super exciting this last little while as we've been growing and moving and just listening to the Lord and what He's trying to say to us. And I feel the Holy Spirit has just been prompting my heart. I was planning, you know, Pentecost Sunday. I preached a bit on about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just how good He is and what He has. And I felt like God is just keeping me here for a little bit. And so today we're going to talk about walking in the Spirit, walking hand in hand with Him. You see, your life and my life, if I give you the best analogy I can give, we're meant to be a glove. And a glove on its own, and that flops around, doesn't it? But when you put a hand inside of that glove, all of a sudden that glove takes shape. Kids, you can be dismissed at this time. Sorry about that. And that all of a sudden that glove takes shape, and that glove now can start to do work. Why? Because there's a hand inside the glove. Well, you and I are the glove. And we need the hand of God to come inside of us and take control. Otherwise, we just kind of flop and flounder around through life hoping, well, is this God's will? I hope it is. Oh, I hope this. Oh, I hope that. Where the Bible tells us the great I am, God in Holy Spirit dwells inside of you and in me. That never will be alone. Never do we have to try and figure out things on our own. But He says He will lead us and He will guide us every step of the way. Hand and glove. Hand and glove. We got to get that analogy inside of us. Otherwise, we feel we're the hand and we start taking control of our life and then we find ourselves at distance with God. So how do we walk in the Spirit? Well, before I get to that, I'll share an analogy. I'm not sure if I shared this before, but I heard a little story. I don't know if this one's true or not, but it's just a little illustrative story of a young boy heard that the circus was coming into town. Oh, he had never seen the circus before, but he sure wanted to see the monkeys. He wanted to see the clowns. He wanted to see all that was about to take place. So he begged and pleaded with his dad. The admission was $1. At that time, a dollar was worth a lot of money, and his dad's like, you know, I don't really have that kind of, oh, dad, please, please, I got to go see the circus. Everything, oh, God, I just got to go, I just got to go. So his dad says, okay, if you do all your chores and you do these extra things, at the end of the week, I'll give you $1 so you can go to the circus. Well, the boy never worked harder in his life. He worked hard and diligent. He got all the things done his dad asked, and it came to the end of the week, and he says, oh, dad, I'm ready. Could I have that dollar? And so his dad gives him the dollar, and he's so excited. He's starting to hear the noise as he's getting closer to town, and the noise is getting louder because here comes the parade for the circus. So in all of a sudden, he sees the crowd, and in comes by the roaring lion, rah! And then comes in the monkeys, and he's like, oh, they're amazing, oh! And he's so excited. He's watching all the things go by, and then at the very end are the clowns. And the clowns are riding around on a one-wheel bike, and others are dancing around and juggling. He's so ecstatic that he goes up to one of the, as they're all heading into the tent for the big show, he goes up to one of the clowns, and he gives him his dollar and says, thank you so much for the show. Oh, it was so amazing. Thank you so much. The circus was better than I thought. And he left and went home, thinking he had saw the circus. You know, in our Christian life, a lot of times that's exactly where we're at. Is as we come to Christ, and all of a sudden we get overwhelmed with excitement. And He starts throwing in front of us just His goodness, His love, His mercy, His grace, His strength, and His power. We cheer and we get excited. But don't cash in your dollar there. Go into the tent. Go past the courts of praise, He says. Come in through the holy place and into the Holy of Holies, in right at His lap. It's not about all of the gifts and all the things. It's about having a relationship with Him. Letting Him be the hand, us be the glove. And that by coming right into the tent and allowing the big show to take place, and the big show is Him. He's it. All the miracles and all the things that God does in our life are just to catch our attention, to realize just how big He is and how great He is For there is no one like him, and no one can do the things he can do. And that amazes us, and we get excited about it. But no miracle saved anyone. Even after the miracles in the Bible, if they didn't readjust their focus to realize what it was, and how do we do that? By returning praise to him, returning glory to him. God, it's you. God, I can't believe it. Oh my goodness, God, you're big, you're great. And the Israelites, they forgot that at times. And we watched the pattern that they fell into. It's the same pattern we can get into too. In our walk with him, how do we walk in the Spirit? If you have your Bibles with me, you can flip, and we're going to flip a lot. So what I tried to do is I put a lot of scriptures on one page, and we're going to start walking, and who knows how far I'll make it, but we're going to start walking through some of these so that you can grab a hold of the fact that this walking with the Spirit, moving with him in the rhythm of his grace, is not something that he's called lightly to, but this is actually kingdom living. This is actually walking in the way that God has called a Christian to walk. So let's walk through some things here, and I'll try to break it down the best I can and bring it in such a way that we can grab a hold of it. But let's start with Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust, sinful desires of the flesh. Now let me pause right here. Death has no hold on Christ. Can I get an amen? Sickness has no hold on Christ. Can I get an amen? Sin has no hold on Christ. Can I get an amen? Well, if he's the one that redeemed you and he lives in you, then guess what? Sickness has no hold on you. Death has no hold on you. Sin has no hold on you. Amen? Do we believe that? When he's in living, he's dwelling inside. No longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, sickness, death, sin has no hold on me. That's why in a portion of scripture it says, oh, death, where is your sting? This life is temporal. We all know that. Our bodies fail, and that I'm 44 now, and I don't feel the same thing I was when I was 19, right? You know, our bodies change, and everything moves in that direction. We know that these are temporal rental bodies. And one day he's going to give us a glorified body that will never die, that will know no sickness, no pain, no arthritis, no cancer, no nothing once we get to heaven. But until then, he says we can pull down a little bit of earth, heaven to earth, so that everyone around can see how great our God is. Now, don't get me wrong. You might say, yeah, but I've been praying for my sickness or my problem or my situation. It's not changing. Oh, wow. You know what? You show just as much a power of God as it is as someone that miracle happens right there. Why? Because you're not letting go. I grew up in church all my life, and I thought, man, I got no testimony. I got no testimony at all because I grew up in church and I really didn't do anything and that I thought was bad. You know, a lot, at least that list, you know, I didn't sleep around. I didn't do drugs or drink. I didn't kick a cane from underneath an older lady. I didn't do any of those things that we thought were terrible and bad. And how dare you do any of those things? And I'd hear people week after week share testimony about how God delivered them from those things. And as a little boy growing up, I felt like I had nothing. And yet God turned around and started sharing with me, wait a minute here. One's not greater than the other. One just shows his mercy, his grace. Another shows his keeping power. And whatever you're going through, whether you get that instant miracle or not, if it's a healing process and it's just kind of this process or sustaining power in the middle of it, that's just as great testimony as it is to have the other side. This is temporal. So don't allow the enemy to cut in on you. Don't allow the enemy to step in on you to get you distracted. For if we walk in the Spirit, then we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We don't have to sin. It's not that I can't sin. Oh, anytime I try to fill the glove of my life with myself, I fall all the time. But I don't have to sin anymore. I don't have to put up with the tricks and the lies of the enemy. when I allow him to put his hand in my life and take control. Because he leads me through the valley of shadow of death. And I shall not fear any evil. For his rod and his staff, they not only comfort me, but they guide me every step of the way. I'm walking through it. I'm not sitting in it. I'm walking through it. And I'm walking towards glory. I'm walking towards my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords. And one day, whether it be on this side, I get that miracle, that touch, that whatever I need, or it's on the other side, I'm heading there. And it is coming. It is coming. And that there is hope and there is faith in him. Then in verse 17, he says, for the flesh lusts or wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. This is Galatians 5, 16 and 17. The flesh in Paul's theology, if you look through all through the what he taught through scripture over and over, included sinful physical activities or pleasures like sensuality, gluttony, alcoholism, and so forth, but also as well as sinful emotions like pride, bitterness, anger, defensiveness. All those things don't have to have a hold anymore. You've heard me say it before, and I truly believe it with all my heart, is no one can offend us. As a believer in Christ, no one can offend us. We choose to take on the offense because greater is he that is in me than the offender. The one that did me wrong, he's greater. Even though someone might have stole from me, it's okay. He's greater. He'll take care of me. It's only when we get our eyes off of him and we pull his hand out and stick our own in that we start taking on offense. We start taking on the things that the enemy is using as fiery darts to destroy and to get us stop walking in the spirit and walking in the flesh. If we walk in the spirit, you shall not fulfill the sinful desires of the flesh. In Galatians 5:17, Paul describes a violent war inside of every believer. The flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh to a degree that we are actively engaged with him. In other words, if I don't engage with God and I don't allow him to begin to lead me, I'm going to find myself in a mess pretty quick. When left to ourselves, we always get in trouble. We say things we shouldn't do, we act in ways we shouldn't, and we find ourselves digging ourselves into a hole. Have you ever been in one of those conversations where your mouth starts moving before your brain, and then all of a sudden you find yourself dug a little bit of a hole? You get one shoe in your mouth, and now you're putting the second one in, and you just can't stop? That's the time just to go, God, help me. Lead me. Guess what? He says he loves it when we call out to him. Walking in the Spirit is the way that God created you and me to be. Galatians 5:16, Paul exhorts us to walk in the Spirit. This sums up our response to the Holy Spirit. Paul follows this exhortation with one of the greatest promises in Scripture. You shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh or the sinful desires. Walking in the Spirit is within the reach of every weak believer. And I say weak because the Bible says when we are weak, he is. When we are weak, he is. So what is it saying is when we're weak and it's limp and it's not really able to do anything, our glove, all of a sudden he puts his hand inside of it and he can start to take control. It's time that we allow him to take control of our lives again. He's wanting his church back. It's a prophetic word he spoke over us, and that earlier in our prayer times on Sunday nights, and I really believe it's not just something for Rockcliffe, but it's a global message. He's our king. He's wanting our lives back. In the Old Testament, it talks out of Judges that the earth had moved in such a place that everyone did what was right in their own eyes because there was no king. Was that not the place that we're kind of moving into now as a generation and as a nation and also as the world? You just have to listen to the news. And he's saying, I want my church back. I want to be king again. I want to be the hand and the glove. Will you allow me to lead your life and guide you into the destiny that I created you to walk in? You see, we walk in the Spirit to the degree that we fellowship with Him. One of the greatest benefits of the new covenant is that our new birth, the Holy Spirit, begins to live inside of us and empower our hearts. John chapter 3, 3 to 5 tells us, we experience His power most in our hearts as we fellowship with Him. Another scripture puts it this way, draw close to me and I will draw close to you. As we fellowship with God, as we say yes to Him, as we get in our word and we pray and we spend time and we ask Him for wisdom and direction, guess what? You get to see Him all the time. If you don't spend time in your word, you don't really pray, you don't really invite Him into your life, then sporadically you'll see it, breakthroughs, where little breakthroughs will come. But He's wanting us to walk in the rhythm of His grace, that every day we can hear from Him. Every day we can walk in His will and in His way. That even though the storm buffets on either side, we can still stand because we're standing upon a solid rock. And that's Christ. Walking in the Spirit is much more than just saying yes to Jesus. That's the beginning. But it's saying yes every day. It's opening our heart to Him every day, saying, Jesus, what do you got for my life? Be the hand and the glove and lead me. What do you want me to say? How do you want me to respond to this circumstance? Because this type of thing, I normally react at because Phil's just not good at this situation. Hey, Lord, would you just lead me in this? And all of a sudden, He guides us in all truth and in all ways. 2 Corinthians 13, 4 says, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you all. It's not just the love of God, but it's that fellowship, that communion that we need to have as we walk in the Spirit. And the more you talk with Him, the more you will hear Him. The more you spend time with Him, the more you will know His presence. He says, my sheep know my voice. The moment we ask Christ in our heart, the moment we open ourselves up to Him, we begin to get spiritual ears to hear His voice. But as we dial in the little radio of our heart, as we spend time just waiting on Him and listening to Him, and sometimes it feels risky because we feel like God says, take a jump. And we're like, oh, I don't know. I've never done it before. I don't know. And then all of a sudden we take a jump and, oh, He caught me. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. All right, okay, that was His voice. Okay, God, I just want to be led by You. And then all of a sudden He says, go right, and we go left. And, you know, because we didn't really listen, and we go left, and we're like, oh, this is not where I need to be. Oh, this is not good. And then we say, God, forgive me. He says, okay, just turn right now. We turn right, and we find, wow, this is so easy. He says His ways are light. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. When we trust Him, when we walk with Him, when we walk in that rhythm of His grace and we walk in the Spirit, all of a sudden we find all the cares of this world, they just fall off. We used to sing that song, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will go strangely dim. We forgot to look in His face. We forgot about that fellowship. We forgot about what it means to walk in the Spirit. See, at this new birth, Holy Spirit is living inside of every human being. This same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So when all of a sudden you come up against something, a circumstance, a situation, or someone's got a need, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, that's so big, so great, I don't know what to do. Pause and say, wait a minute here. Same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling in me. So God, I guess You want to do something here. So I'm just going to invite You into this circumstance. I'm just going to begin to pray over this person. I'm going to begin to shift my heart to believe. Remember the scripture, well, help my unbelief. Help our unbelief, Lord, that we would walk by faith. Not in our own ability, and that's the problem. When we fill it the glove with our hand, we sometimes lack faith because I know my own weaknesses. I know where I fall short. So I carry that around unless I can get my hand out of there and I allow him to put his hand in. Well, is there a weakness in God? Not at all. Is there anything impossible for him? Not at all. Well, if he's leading, then who and what can be against me? It's only when I lead that I get hit all the time. My armor gets beat up really bad and everything else. It's because I'm trying to lead. Let him lead. Walk in the Spirit and watch what he'll do. At new birth, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and into our spirit. He awakens us. The new birth is as much more than just about forgiveness. Yes, it is about forgiveness of our sins. And yes, as far as the east and the west, he remembers it no more, and you're washed white as... Canadians know that well. When that white blanket hits, everything looks beautiful. But all of a sudden, it cleans up in the spring, and there's a big mess underneath. Amen? When he puts that washing of white as snow over you and I, when God looks at you, that's all he sees. He sees righteous. He sees holy, and he sees pure. Oh, don't get me wrong. There might be some still stuff in your life and my life and our attitudes and our walk that still need adjustment. But he says, if you'll let me, by day, by glory, I'll do that work inside of you. But remember, when I look at you, because my son is filling your glove, all I see is holy, righteous, pure, and true. That's what I see. Our problem is we see and we uncover some of the snow, some of that pure that God puts on us, and we say, oh, I'm not really pure. I got some things that are in my life that are not so good. I don't really feel righteous. I don't feel like I deserve to take this step. I don't deserve to be a part of this good stuff. What have we just done? We've taken all the focus off of him and put it on who? Ourselves. This walk, this rhythm of grace he's called us to, he says, do it in remembrance of him, right? Of me, he says. Not of yourself. Lest any man could boast to think that they deserve to be in this place of being free and holy and righteous and declared that over their life. No one can do that on their own. But that's the work that he's done for us. And it requires us to humble ourselves. Say, God, I don't really deserve it. And when he brings up something in our life, he's given us a way through it. He says, repent. You know what? That part, I don't really feel pure. I don't feel righteous. I don't feel holy. I don't feel good. Because, you know, you don't know my attitude or what this. Well, then if that's coming up, it's only because he wants to help you in that. Amen? Because he that began a good work will complete it. He's not finished with you yet. But let him be the hand in the glove. Let him lead you. Its emphasis being born into a new reality, a new connectedness now with the Holy Spirit, that we're not doing this on our own. We're not trying to figure it out. We're not trying to follow just 10 rules. And if I do this, I'm going to be okay. And then Holy Spirit would come upon Samson or come upon and that one of the prophets or judges and give them wisdom or strength or whatever, and then Holy Spirit would leave them. But we now dwell in the new covenant of Christ. He said, it's good for me to go, because if I go, I'll send the Comforter to guide, lead, and be with you always. If you'll just trust and let me be the hand in the glove. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Holy Spirit is dwelling in our spirit, and he's helping make us one. Amen? That's why we can join together with a million differences. On the outside is because greater is he that is in us. And that one spirit, now he's connecting my spirit, that I will submit myself and allow him to be the hand in my glove. Well, then all of a sudden, when I join together with my brothers and sisters in the Lord, all of a sudden, as he's the hand in their glove, well, then we all start seeing the same thing and moving in a similar direction. Even though we're radically different, with different giftings, different abilities, and everything else, we start, why? Because we all know his voice. We know his voice. Trust him and walk with him. God deposited into our spirit the seed of his very being, Holy Spirit. The eternal, uncreated God came to live in us. Holy Spirit came to live in us. One purpose, for this was to destroy the works of darkness. It was to destroy the works of sin, of death, of hell. Holy Spirit now dwelling in us destroys all of that so that we don't have to fear any of it. Oh, death, where is your sting? If I die today, I'm going to be with him. That's what we long for. Oh, death, where's your sting? Now you don't have a hold on me anymore. No matter what I'm facing, as long as I got breath in my lungs as a gift that you've given me, I will turn it back to praise. No matter what circumstance I find myself in, even if I feel like I'm bringing a sacrifice of praise instead of a real easy praise because everything's going good, no matter what, I recognize you're the author of the breath in my lungs and I'll return it to you. I'll give it back to you. The person born of God no longer lives in habitual sin as they formerly did because there's a war waging inside of them and Holy Spirit's greater. And he's speaking into your spirit, and he's going to help lead you, and he's going to help guide you. But you got to let him be the hand in the glove so that he can take control because he knows what's best. He's already prepared every good thing for you. He is not against you. He's not against you. Oh, sometimes when we bring a bunch of rules up and we bring a bunch of things up, we turn around and we're using it as a corkscrew onto someone or whatever. God is not against you. His ways are meant to bring life and hope and a future, not to drive you down, but to lift you up. He is for you. He's not against you. 1 John 3:8-9 says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him." Jesus' seed, Holy Spirit, will remain in you, and he will war with you against the enemy and the lust of the sinful flesh, and that is coming against you, and he will war against you. All you got to do is stand. And when you've done everything to stand, he says, stand again, because I'm with you, and no weapons that are formed against you will prosper. How big is our God? Walk in the Spirit. Let him be the hand and the glove to lead your life, and watch what he'll do. Jesus is our high priest, and according to the same power that dwelt in Jesus, the power of Holy Spirit, who is described as an indestructible life. Holy Spirit is described as an indestructible life. You need to get that into your heart. An indestructible life also dwells in you. In other words, the Spirit has power, Holy Spirit has power to destroy all the lusts and the darkness that oppose Christ. At your new birth and my new birth, we receive the same Holy Spirit who is the power of God's indestructible life. Jesus says, I will give you life and life more abundant. The indestructible life of Holy Spirit, he will come into your life, and no matter what is coming against you, no matter what has been said, no matter what your mom did, your grandma did, or your generations before, today can be a new day that you can be broke and be set free because in his name, he has the power to destroy. Destroy every yoke, every bondage, every chain. You don't have to be like Eeyore. Oh, what was life? This is the way it was. I just got to keep. No, with the power of God living inside of you, allowing Holy Spirit to be that hand inside of your glove, he can lead you through everything. Don't live below what God has called you to. It's time to lift your head back up. And realize you are a prince and a princess in his kingdom. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And he's wanting you to stand back up and realize, wait a minute, you're not defeated. You're not down. Oh, you might look to someone and say, well, they got more money than me. Man, they seem to have everything going for them. I can't go on that vacation that they went on. You know what? Just let that go and let him lead you. God knows what he wants, and if he wants you to go somewhere else to do something for him, guess what? He will move heaven and earth to make that happen. Amen? Trust him. Don't look to your right and to your left and get distracted at what God is doing in other people, because you're not them. You're different. I'm different. We're all different. We're uniquely formed in our mother's womb by him, and he knew what he was doing. We need to walk in the Spirit. It's allowing him to be the hand and the glove to lead us. Hebrews 7:15-16 says, if another priest, talking about Jesus, arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become such according to the power of his indestructible life. God created us in three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Our inner man, or the hidden person of the heart, is comprised of spirit and in soul. Our soul is our mind, our emotions, and our will. The outer man is our physical body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Let me pause on saying this. As Pentecostals, we're famous. We love to pray for healing. Amen? How many believe God heals today? Amen? Well, if I read this scripture here, just this one, he's not wanting us just physically well, although we put all of our lot in life on that one, because we're so attached to this earth, we forgot it, we have rental bodies. He's wanting us mentally well, he's wanting us emotionally well, and he's wanting us well in the ability to know his will and to walk in it. He wants us whole. The Greek word for that in the New Testament is sozo, S-O-Z-O. He wants us whole. He wants us delivered, set free. He wants us made whole, body, mind, soul, and spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:16, our outer man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. Our outer man is perishing. We can't do the same things we did maybe a year ago or 10 years ago, but that's okay, because on the inside, I'm being renewed day by day. I can have the strength of 1,000 lions inside of me. I don't know, I play basketball with my son, and sometimes it's hard keeping up. Don't tell him I'm saying this, and that keep your ears closed, Isaiah. But in that part is my head still remembers what I did in college. And what I did when I played in the basketball leagues that I played, my head remembers that, but my body's just not quite keeping up to it now. And in that part is we understand that our body is perishing day by day. It's getting older, but inside we can be renewed. And we can feel younger than we've ever felt before, because we love life, because every day is another opportunity to be a part of what our King is about. And we can be a part of what he's speaking and what he's doing. 1 Peter 3:3-4 says, do not let your adornment be merely outward. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit. If we took just a fraction of the money that we spent on our outward appearance and we actually invested that into our spirit, by getting into the Word, by listening and drawing into his teachings and the things, by investing that amount of time that we spent in front of the mirror to our spirit, oh man, we would find a transformation like never before. Because real beauty comes from within. Amen? Come on now, when we get older, things start to go a little softer, things start to not move the same, everything else, it's reality check. But inside, if we turn around and remember, it's like a husband and a wife in their youth. If all they're caught up in is the outward beauty of each other, and then all of a sudden, like my wife reminds me, my hairline is receding a little higher than she would like. You know, she reminds me of that quite often, you know, or whatever. Then we can get so distracted on that we start, oh, you know, I don't like that. Oh, why can't you be the same? Oh, But if we remind ourselves of what really matters, that inward beauty. Now, we need to take care of ourselves because our body is the temple of the, right? And if I don't take care of my body, God asks me, hey, I want you to walk down the road and I want you to say this to someone and I'm taking four steps and I'm dragging myself to do what he's asked me to do because my body's not in the right position that it should be because I'm not taking care of it, then I'm not going to be able to be in his will and the things he's asking for me. And to each different person, he asks different things. And that, so don't look to one and say, oh, I can't believe, like, they seem to be, like, you know, on steroids or something because they still have a six-pack and they're 85, you know. And you're like, man, I don't have that. Like, I mean, what am I going to do? I'm trying to watch what I eat. I'm trying to do. Be the best you. Be the best you. Not the best of everyone around. Be the best you, because you're exactly who God created. And every body is different. Every person is different. But be the best you. Are you the best you today? Are you the best you? And it might take us time to get us into that direction physically, right? Because if we've let go, or even spiritually, we think it's going to take us a lot of time, but it only takes a lot of time in the physical. But in the spiritual, the moment we confess, the moment we ask for help, the moment we take a step, he's right there, picking us up. We don't have to play in the mud. We don't have to stay in it. You might have said, well, you know, I used to be this with God, and now I'm kind of over here. All you got to do is say, Jesus, and right away, he'll pull you right back here. And he says, let's get up and let's go. Let's just keep moving. It's not the same from the physical and the spiritual. We need to walk in the spirit and allow him to pour that life and life more abundant into us so that he can lead us into all understanding. Colossians 3:10 says, put on the new man who is renewed according to the image of him. Not your image, not the person on Vogue magazine or on this or on that. We're not to line up to any of them. Not to the superstar of the faith, and I'm not making any light of that, but just someone that is really godly and moving. We're not even to line up to them. We're to line up to him. Be the best you that he created and allow him to draw the treasure out. Allow him to raise you up into that place, knowing that we're all radically different. One might be the thumb here today of this body. One might be the elbow. One might be the right foot or the right hand or left hand. We're all uniquely different, but he forms us and he puts us as one body, saying, I need every part to function right. And when every part walks in the spirit and trusts in him, the whole body moves in the right direction. It's when our brain doesn't tell our body the right things that all of a sudden we're telling ourselves to do something, but all of a sudden that leg just won't quite work right and it kind of drags a little because the message from our brain going down to the physical body. And we know how sickness and things can travel and do things into our body, and that all of a sudden now we lose function, or this is just not working right, or whatever it might be. And we have to retrain. My dad, I told you, he fell and he broke his neck. You know, he's still got a collar on, but they say everything is going better. They're just nervous of him maybe falling again. He had one, I think it was his right leg, and that his right leg was dragging a little bit, and they didn't know why. They've checked for stroke, they've checked for all sorts, and everything looks great. So they got a physiotherapist coming. And now they've retrained his body on how to pick up his foot and to work proper now he's not dragging his foot. That's the same thing the Holy Spirit wants to do for your spirit and my spirit, is when one part of our being, whether it's our emotion, our will, our mind, our body, whatever it might be, is just not working right, and that just let him fill that extra finger. Let him fill that other part of your life. Let him have control to be the hand and the glove. And just walk in the spirit and see what he'll do as he retrains our heart, our mind, our body, our soul and spirit to line up to what he's already said we are. Don't walk below it. Don't allow the enemy to throw your mind off or throw your emotions off or throw your physical body into such a peril that it gets your spirit down. Keep lifting up Christ above it all. And listen, when you don't feel like you got strength to say it or to do it, oh man, guess who is right there beside you? Holy Spirit, leading you to Christ, leading you to that life and life more abundant, because he's the indestructible life dwelling inside of you, and that you were created to succeed. You were created to succeed. No weapon formed against will prosper. So the only thing that can stop us from succeeding is ourself. Nothing else can. And I thank the Lord that even when I messing up and myself is leading me in a different direction, Holy Spirit, because I gave him permission when I said, Jesus, you can have all of me, even though I didn't know really what it meant. And every day he's showing me what it means as he challenges my heart and I let go of another thing. I let him fill another finger of my glove and I let him have control of my life. And then all of a sudden I begin to realize, wait a minute here. Even on my bad days, he's there. His indestructible life is there. Even when my mind is not quite in the right frame of mind, he's there. He says, when I'm weak, he will become strong. And I can't tell you the times I've been in moments where I've been weak and God has brought someone else into my path to be my errand, and they've spoke for me on something. There's times when all of a sudden my emotions are all here or there, and all of a sudden God turned around and he brought a peace into my heart that everything just went whew, calmed right down. Let him be the hand in the glove. Let him be the hand in your glove. Maybe you're here today and you've given your heart to the Lord, and you're like that little boy, you watched the parade go by and it's exciting to be a part of what God is doing, but you're forgetting the main show is about coming into his presence. It's about coming into that relationship with him. Not just the benefits, not just the excitement, not just the things, but coming into that tent, coming into that place and allowing him to speak over you. Allowing him to lead you as you spend time with him. Walking in the Spirit goes hand in hand. How much we walk in the Spirit or how deep we walk in it goes hand in hand with how much time we spend with him. It's not about just checklist, I did this or I did that. But it's quieting our heart and spending time with him. And we spend time with him, we can't help but being led by the Spirit because he lives inside of us. So if you're having a hard time hearing his voice, if you have a hard time trying to grasp things because the world is constantly bombarding us with all sorts of lies and all sorts of conclusions and different things that they're making up and going on with, that it makes us hard sometimes with our questioning of who God is and how to walk and what to do, just take a breath and remember the indestructible life dwells inside of you, and he will lead you into all truth. He will lead you into all ways, and he will lead you into Christ. The great I am dwells inside of you and I. Walking by the Spirit is not an option. It's what we're called into. He says, unless you be born again, you won't enter the kingdom. And Nicodemus is like, what do you mean by being born again? That doesn't make any sense to me. He says, do I just kind of jump back in my mother's womb and wait for a moment and come back out? I don't get it. He says, no. He says, unless you be born of the Spirit and renewed, and that unless you allow my hand to come in and be the hand in the glove, he says, then you're gonna fall short. You're gonna miss the goodness that I have for you. He is for you and not against you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. I thank you for each and every one here today. It's not by coincidence, not by chance, Lord, that you've designed uniquely some to be born in this city. Lord, for some to move to this city. Lord, for some to be here visiting today. But Lord, you've put us all in this room for such a time as this, that you are speaking into our heart of what it truly means to walk in the Spirit. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. You are so for us and not against us. I thank you for what you are doing and what you are speaking here today. Lord, that someone is being set free today. Lord, of emotions that have been controlling and leading their life. And now, Lord, they're going to take that down and say, no, you be the hand and the glove, not my emotions, but you, God. Holy Spirit, lead me. And Lord, they're going to find a way through the wilderness that they're in right now. Lord, I pray for the one, Lord, where their mind and their logic is trying to lead them right now. God, I pray they would just pull that out of the glove, put you into the glove and say, God, I pray you bring clarity right now. Lord, you bring clarity, Lord, that you would come and lead me, Lord. And Lord, help renew my mind, no longer in the patterns of this world, Romans 12:2, but Lord, to be transformed and renewed upon your word, your pleasing and good, perfect will, that I'll understand it and I'll be able to walk in it. Oh, I thank you, God, for what you're doing here at Rockcliffe. For Lord, you're helping us get back up on top of the rock, not just on the side hanging on for dear life and being bashed by everything, but standing back up on top and being able to speak to the waves and say, be still. God, being able to stand up upon the rock, and that even though the crashing of the world and the weight of all the things come around us, we can still stand in the middle of it and say, you know what? If God be for me, I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm all right because I know that he's got me in his hands. So Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ right now, Lord, if there's anyone in the sound of my voice that does not know you or know that there's more to you than just the parade, but Lord, that there's this presence that we can come into the tent and we can spend time with you. We can sit at your feet, that you can speak to us and we can hear your voice. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just help connect the dots. You help bring that together into their heart right now. And that with every eye closed and every head bowed just for a second here, this is between you and God. But if you're here today, and, you know, you're a believer in Christ. You love him, but you've been distracted by the parade. And God's just speaking into your heart today that he really wants you to come into his presence and into the tent and get to know who he really is. Not just what he does, not just what he has, but who he is. I'm just asking you, just while everyone's eyes are closed, just slip your hand up towards the Lord. And just ask, you know, as a confession, as a partnership, to say, yeah, Lord, that's me. That's what I want. I want that. I'll just give you a moment here. Okay, I see the hand. You can put her down. Is there anyone else? It's part of a confession of their heart. Okay. If you're here today and maybe you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you know about him. You know the logical stuff, you know that idea, but really that personal relationship, if you're honest with yourself, you really haven't had that. But there's something inside of you saying, man, I kind of want that. That's what I really want. I feel like I'm missing something, and everything I try to get my head around, everything I try to wrap my heart around, it just doesn't make sense. But he's pricking your heart to say, hey, start the journey with me. And that if you're here today and you want to start the journey with them. I just ask you just to slip your hand up. Every eye is closed for a moment. Just take a second here. Okay. Put your hand down. Thank you, Lord. That means the rest of us are all walking in his spirit. And he's just wanting to fine-tune the dial a little bit. To remind you, the great I am lives inside of you. The great I am lives inside of you. There is nothing too difficult for him. So Lord, I pray right now you just start to fine-tune that dial in each and every one of our hearts. God, Lord, that we would just hear you more clearly. We'd be able to lift our head up, Lord, not in pride, but Lord, lift our head up knowing, Lord, that if you're for us, who and what could be against, that confidence would rise. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you because he dwells inside of you. He dwells inside of me. Oh, Lord, I pray for confidence to raise within our body, that, Lord, we would be bold. Holy Spirit, you would infuse us with boldness. I pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would just have total control. You would fill every little nook and cranny of that glove in our life, Lord, that you would have total lead. And Lord, if there's anyone here in the sound of my voice that's resistant to you, Lord, I just pray you just love on them. Because, Lord, your word says love never fails. So just keep lavishing love upon them, lavishing and lavishing it on. Lord, not because we all deserve it, because none of us do. But, Lord, your banner over us is love. So, Lord, erase all of the hardness, all of the words that have been spoken that are not true, the thoughts that have been embraced that are not really of you. Lord, would you just lavish your love on there, Lord, until all of them get settled and washed away. And we pray, Lord, thank you that you are here. We thank you that you love us, and we thank you for what you have in store. For in your name, there is power, there is honor, there is authority. And so, Jesus, we thank you right now for what you're doing. For the one, Lord, that is, Lord, shifting their life to allow you to be that hand inside. Lord, to the ones, Lord, that are saying, hey, I've been caught up with the circus side of it, that what he does and all the benefits, I forgot about the fact that I need to be in his presence and he's tugging my heart. God, I pray that you would just take them deeper than ever before. Lord, I pray past their ankles, past their knees, as they keep walking, past their hips, get them so deep in, Lord, that, Lord, it's sink or swim, I'm going in. Because their faith and their trust gets so built up that they believe with you all things are possible. So, Lord, I just thank you for each and every one. I bless them, Lord, right now. May you go before them and behind them and all around them, Lord. May they never forget, each and every one of us, that you are with us. In our conversation, in our walking, in our deeds and our actions, you are there. And so, God, I thank you for that right now. I thank you for what you have done and you're about to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God speaking to your heart, I encourage you, don't leave. Take some time with them, whether it be in the seat that you're in or you want to talk with me or you would like someone to pray with you, I'd love to meet with you and pray with you. And that we love you lots. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. I encourage you tonight. Tonight at 6:30, we have prayer, and that it's a great opportunity where we've been learning how to hear his voice, walk in a voice, and we've been hearing some incredible things that God has been speaking, and I just encourage you to come and be a part of that, 6:30 tonight. God bless you. We love you lots. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.